It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In John chapter 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his return to heaven. And of course, he would be offered on the cross of Calvary. And this is what he's trying to let these people know. He's walking with here, and he's dealing with the individuals, the apostles, the disciples. He's trying to comfort them just before he goes to the cross. We left off last time in chapter 14, and I want to look at verse 12 once again. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that's Jesus Christ, "the works that I do," that's Jesus Christ, "shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I believe this is speaking of many different things, but I believe the primary thing that Jesus wants to get across here is that he was in this world for a short period of time. He was going about telling people, preaching, how that people could go to heaven, how they could know for sure they were saved and on their way to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We've read that in this chapter. But I believe also that as we look at this, greater works than these shall we do, according to that scripture. I believe that means that we have more of an opportunity today. Our lifespan will be greater than Christ. Remember, we study and we find that he lived some 33 and a half years. Well, some of us live longer than that. And some of us are saved longer than that. And by knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that empowers us to go forth and see people saved. Now, we don't save them. Jesus saves them. It's through his blood that a person comes to a saving knowledge. Well, greater works than these, than what he has been doing, I believe that the primary reason Jesus did the miracles, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, and so forth, was to draw attention to the fact that sinful man needed a Savior. He was using these illustrations, if you would, to let people know that he was God, and he was here because of God the Father. He was glorifying God the Father, and everything that he did, all of the works that he did, he was empowered, and he gave glory to the one who empowered him, and that one was God the Father. Well, we do works today for Jesus Christ. That is, if we're saved, we do the works that he wants us to do. And the prime work that he wants us to do is go forth and carry the gospel to this lost and dying world. We don't save anyone. Jesus saves them. He saves them by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We simply introduce people to Jesus Christ. And we tell individuals of this world how that they too can be on their way to heaven. Greater works means that we have actually a greater opportunity to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. Remember, he was in one area, and wherever he went, he caused turmoil. He told people how to be saved, and people wanted to kill him because he made himself equal with God. He is God. He stirred up the people. And once again, he stirred people up so that they would listen to him, so that they would have an opportunity to trust him as Lord and Savior, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. That means he's the only way to heaven. Verse 12 again says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And we keep reading, and we're going to read in just a moment about the Holy Spirit. I made mention the last time that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would empower us. That is the saved people of the world, those people who know Jesus as Savior. The Holy Spirit would empower us to do the works that Jesus wants us to do. The works that he did not do, he's gone. He's gone. He's back in heaven. So we are to carry on the works that he started. And many hundreds and thousands and millions of people have been saved and will be saved because of the works that human beings who have been saved, those works of telling other individuals about Jesus Christ, how many more people would be saved through the works of individuals? In verse 13, it says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I believe that we have our heart right with the Lord as saved people. When we have our hearts right with the Lord and we pray, we're going to pray right. And the next verse says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, that doesn't mean that if you pray for a Mercedes or a Lamborghini or something like this, that doesn't mean necessarily. Now, some may pray and get it, I don't know. But I believe what it's speaking, it's not speaking of that. It's speaking of the things that we do in the Lord's name, the things that we do, just as Jesus Christ did everything in the Father's name. He said the Father had sent him, and he was going to bring honor and glory to God the Father because he had empowered him. Well, just as the Father, the Heavenly Father, empowered the Lord Jesus Christ is empowering us to do the work. And we see that he's going to be gone soon as we read these verses. Well, what's going to take place? How are we going to do this work? Verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He's talking once again about being able to get the things that we ask for. If our hearts are right with the Lord, we're going to ask for things that are right. We're not going to ask for frivolous things. We're just going to ask God for the things that we need to do the work that he wants us to do. Take care of us. Take care of our families and watch over us. "If you shall ask anything in my name," he says, "I will do it. If you love me," verse 15 says, "keep my commandments." Do what he wants you to do. He's not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments. He's talking about doing the things that we are to do for him. You say, what are those things? Well, I believe that God gives each saved person in this world different responsibilities. What is your responsibility? I don't know. That's up to you and the Lord. That's where getting into the Word of God and praying and seeking God's face comes in. When you pray and you ask God, "Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you want me to do?" Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that you need to be doing is leading other people to Jesus Christ. That's a good beginning. That's a good starting point. But then I believe that God has other things for people, his people, to do here. Some are Sunday school teachers. Some are deacons. Some are pastors. Some are teachers. And so forth. And you read about this in the Word of God. He has a job for each one of us who name him as Lord and Savior. "If you love me," he says, "keep my commandments." You'll do what he wants you to do, not what some preacher or some pastor or some anyone else wants you to do, but you do what God wants you to do. And you find this out by going to the Word of God and say, "God, what do you want me to do with my life to be able to serve you?" And God will lead you. I know that's a fact because he's led me through these years, and he will let you know what you need to be doing to serve him, to keep his commandments that he gives. Verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." When a person gets saved, they're saved forever. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, they're saved forever. There is no way that that person is going to be lost. There's no way that that person is going to lose eternal life, because we're saved forever according to the Word of God. Let's go back and read that verse again. Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Jesus was a comforter to the people around him. Now he's going to send another comforter, "that he may abide with you forever." When a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live with that individual. The Holy Spirit indwells the saved person. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave us. Jesus himself said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Well, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's never going to leave. He's not going to leave us as long as we're in this body, until we go to be with the Lord, either in the rapture of the church or when this breath of life leaves this body. That's when the Holy Spirit will leave. So we'll have no more need at that point of having him indwell us, because we're going to be with the Lord. But he's giving us power to serve Jesus Christ, to keep the commandments that the Lord wants us to keep, to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. We can't do this on our with our own power. It's up to the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the things that Jesus wants us to do while we're on this earth. Verse 17 says that it's speaking of the Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, notice the world cannot have the Spirit of God. That means the unsaved people of this world cannot have the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much a person would go to an individual who's unsaved and say, I'm going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, in a sense, that's getting saved. That's praying for their salvation, because if they get saved, they have the Holy Spirit, but they have the wrong idea many times. They say, I'm going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, if they're saved, they have the Holy Spirit. If they're not saved, they're not going to have the Holy Spirit. You get the Spirit of God once you call on the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us here that the Spirit of truth is going to indwell us. That Holy Spirit, the unsaved people, the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. They do not believe God when he says the first step of receiving the Holy Spirit is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then you receive the Holy Spirit. Now notice verse 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to comfort us while we're here on this earth, as long as we're in this body. But Jesus Christ has given us another comfort. Remember, these people that he's speaking to back in John chapter 14, he's speaking to those individuals who were seeing him right then. He was getting ready to go, and he was going to the cross. He was getting ready to go back to heaven. Well, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another comforter to you. But then he goes ahead and he really emphasizes something here. He said, you know, not only am I going to send the Holy Spirit in so many words here as we read the scriptures, he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, Jesus Christ is going to come for us. And I believe that when a person gives up their breath of life, I believe they go immediately into the presence of God. They see Jesus Christ. They go into the presence of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come for you. And I believe those eyes of the individual closes in death, I believe we go immediately into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus Christ. And that is for those people who are saved, not for the unsaved, but for those who are saved. And then once again, maybe the breath of life's not going to leave before Jesus comes for us. He will come back for us in the clouds. He's going to say, come up hither, and we're going to be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call that the rapture of the church. You say, and I mentioned this before about the Trinity. Trinity is not the word Trinity is not there. Neither is the word rapture. But when we study the Word of God, we see those things. We see the Trinity. We see the rapture taking place. Jesus Christ has told us back in the first part of this chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Well, my heart is not troubled, because I know that Jesus Christ is coming for me. One way or the other, I'm going to be with him, whether these eyes close in death, the breath of life leaves me, or whether he says, come up hither, I'm going to be with him. And you need to take heart today. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, take heart, because Jesus Christ loves you. We can't lose as saved people because we're saved on our way to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.